Well, good morning. Hope you guys all have had a great start to the Lord's Day, and it is an honor and a privilege, as always, to gather along with you this morning to ascribe praise and worship and glory to the triune God. I don't know about you, but that was a great encouragement to watch in that video, was it not? To see the Great Commission going forth to all the ends of the earth and to see the work of Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, I hope and pray that we'll all be faithful as we've been in years past to that ministry. And I know I'm excited, as well as my wife, to be able to give to people who we might never meet on this side of heaven, but to be a blessing to them, both physically and providing some of the temporal needs of this world, as well as spiritually through sharing the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do have a few announcements to make before we begin our time of corporate worship. We do have evening service tonight at 5:30. Hope that you guys will be able to make that. We do have Alec preaching tonight. He's going to bring the word, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how that is used by God to be a blessing to your souls. We do have collection for Operation Christmas Child set up in the foyer. Many of you guys probably already saw that as you walked in, but if not, be mindful of that opportunity that we have displayed there in the foyer outside the sanctuary. Our teacher luncheon is Wednesday, August 4th. It's upon us already. This is my first year to be able to be a part of that outreach to the teachers in our community, so I'm really looking forward to it. If you're available this week, we'd be more than happy to have you guys come and serve the teachers that are serving the next generation in our community. I, for one, am excited to get some of our youth involved with that, just to minister to our teachers, to share the gospel with them, and to encourage them to press on in the work God's called them to. Looking forward to another great school year. Hope that many in our community will be blessed through their efforts as teachers. Wednesday evening meals start back this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. We're starting over with the reservation list, so if you haven't signed up or if you're not on that list, you need to fill out the form in your bulletin or call the church office by Tuesday at noon if you plan to eat. So Wednesday night meal, I'm looking forward to being able to mingle with some of you guys on Wednesdays for a change. I'm typically tied up at the SMB, but really looking forward to be able to spend some time with y'all on Wednesdays, enjoy food and fellowship, all the great things that we love to do at Southern Baptist. Lastly, we do have Institute of Creation Research coming next Sunday. That is August the 8th. They're going to be doing a special presentation at 9:30 during the Sunday school hour. So, of course, you guys are welcome to be present for that. The youth will be here in the sanctuary for that presentation. And I pray that you and your Sunday school classes would consider being a part of the ICR presentation. It's going to be on a Christian biblical perspective on the universe. And then at 5:30 p.m., we're going to be talking about dinosaurs, a biblical Christian perspective on dinosaurs, and a question and answer session is going to follow that presentation. For the 5:30 seminar particularly, please bring a friend or family member. If you have an unbelieving friend or family member as well, feel free to bring them. There's going to be a lot of great feedback showing the intersection between science and the Word of God and how those two disciplines are compatible with one another. It's going to be a blessing to our church, and we have invited several other churches in our community to be a part of that, hoping it's a great opportunity to share the gospel and the truth of God's Word and just be a blessing to the different Christians and non-Christians that are around our community. So pray that you guys would be able to attend that. If you haven't been keeping up with your bulletins, we are also distributing those as well before service. I have a little reminder here in my announcement sheet just to encourage you to grab that, stay in the loop about what's going on here in the life of our church, and that'll make it easier on you guys to plan in accordance with some of the events we have on the calendar.
Well, church, let's begin our time together by singing of that glory that He is worthy of. Sing, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Master. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Well, that is our prayer this morning, that you would draw us unto yourself. As we sing of your glory, we sing praise and honor to your name, for you are worthy. And Lord, as we stir one another up to righteousness by singing of the truth of your word, reminding one another of what you have done for us, Lord, for those you have loved, and for the glory of your kingdom and your name, Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you that we have reason to sing. We thank you that you've made yourself known to us. Because, Lord, as your word says multiple times, the things of this world, they fade, but you remain forever. We can have hope in that. We can celebrate that. And it can carry us through even when the days are dark. And so, Lord, as we continue to praise your name, we ask that you would stir us unto yourself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Your goodness, I would be desperate without your love, slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross,
Lord, you have won us,
you have won me with your kindness. You chased me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. And with your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross.
All of our shame was met with his mercy. Sing that.
And all my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. And with your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah. For the cross. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. And by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. And by your death I live. Our sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. And by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. And with your blood, you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah for the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. And with your blood, you bought my freedom.
Oh, the wonderful faith draw near and bless your name.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, so
Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to come and worship. We just pray that you would bless each one here. We ask that you be with our pastor and Laura as they travel. Just bring them back after a safe trip. We ask that you be with Brother Jackson as he brings the message this morning. Just let each one, each heart be receptive to the message from you. We just ask that you bless all the ministries of this church. Just let us, everything we do, be to your glory. We ask that you take these tithes and offering and bless them to the furtherance of your kingdom. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will and do and to
purpose for each and every person here in this room. I pray that you have received this worship and that it is a sweet offering to you, that we have given you back just a small portion of what you so graciously give unto us each and every day. Lord, be with Brother Jackson as he comes and brings us your word. Help us to be receptive to it, and let us not be hardened of hearts. Lord, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for never leaving us and for walking with us and just being you, God, because we can't be. And you are good at being you. You're good at being God. And you are faithful to us. And we just praise you. And it's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Well, it's good to be back with you today. I always enjoy coming here. See, you're the most singing church that we get to go to. I mean that. You'd be amazed at how many churches that we attend, and I don't hear the people singing. And so it's just a joy to stand there and tilt my head a little bit and hear the singing. And that second song, I've never heard that one before. Did y'all do that at youth camp? I hear the young voices that were really singing out on that one, and I loved that. But not familiar with that song, and thank you for allowing Brother Robert and Laura to get away. You know, one of the things that I've been reading articles about over the past year is something now that's going on in ministry, especially with pastors, called decision fatigue. coming out of the last year and a half and all that we've been through in churches and all that pastors have had to deal with in regard to do we have church, do we not have church? If we don't have church, what do we do instead? If we do have church, how do we do it? And all that's going on has been going on for a year and a half with that. They're now a new thing called decision fatigue. So he needed to be able to get away. And so I commend you in that and thank you for allowing him that time off. And thank you also for your continued participation with Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. Y'all have already brought shoeboxes to the office, and so I hope there'll be a lot more to come. I see the goal, I think, said 525, and so I hope that you'll even exceed that and know that you are touching lives in miraculous ways. And you've heard some of those stories before, and they just continue to come in, and it is amazing to see how God could take somebody living in Edna, Texas, who goes to the dollar store and puts something in a shoebox that gets opened by a child on the other side of the world, and it was exactly what they've been hoping for. It happens over and over and over. That's the miracle of a shoebox. And so I encourage you in that and hope that you will continue. We hope that we'll bring in more boxes than we ever have before this year. And so it'll be a wonderful thing. All right, this morning I want to remind you of something that happened, I don't remember how many years ago, and every time I preach this sermon, I always have to say this because I always forget, but there was a comedian some years ago who did an entire routine with this one thing where he would make a statement about people, or he would propose a question, and he would say, then, if that's you, here's your sign. Remember that? After every service, somebody comes and tells me who it was, but I never can remember which comedian it was. But that's what he would do. Well, I want to do that this morning. I want to say to you this way, if you're in this room today, here's your sign. I propose to you that regardless of your situation right now in your life, whatever it is you're going through, here's your sign. Now, the definition of this word, according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, there's several definitions. It's a verb, first of all. That means it's something that we are to do. And here's what the word means. To relinquish one's possession of something, such as position of advantage or point of superiority. To surrender or submit oneself to another. To give up and cease resistance or contention. To give place or precedence, to acknowledge the superiority of someone else, to be inferior. To give way to or become succeeded by someone or something else. Regardless of your situation in life, this is your sign. I would say this is your need. In fact, I believe this is the greatest need in the American church today. And I say that by observation, by things I've seen personally, but in much of what I read about the church in America today. And I've said this on many, many occasions. I believe that humility is the greatest need in the church today for the Christian and non-Christian alike to yield your life to God. Now, before you think I'm just wanting to jump on my own personal soapbox and lecture the church about what my opinion is, I want us to look at the importance of this in Scripture. And because the word yield isn't necessarily the word that we would find in Scripture, but the same intent goes along with to submit or to surrender or to humble. These are the words that we look for. See the context that we find them in Scripture and what they teach us. So I want you to begin this morning by finding John chapter 3. John chapter 3, my favorite verse in all of the Bible. John chapter 3. The word yield is not in this passage. I'll just tell you that right now. But the understanding of it is in a very profound way. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim because there was much water there, and people were coming and were being baptized. for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he, capital H in your Bible there, Jesus, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. Now, here's the scenario. You remember the situation. The Bible tells us that all of Judea was going out to John the Baptist, and he was preaching repentance and baptizing, and the crowds, everybody was coming to see him. Well, now Jesus has come on the scene, upriver a little bit, and now the crowds are going to Jesus. And so the Sunday school director and the chairman of deacons go to John. Now, that was, attendance is down, brother. We got to do something. I don't know if it was really them, but that just, you know. So these disciples, they say, look, the crowds that you once had, they're all going to Jesus. Now look at this fantastic response from John, beginning in verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. John understands. He says, look, we do what we do because of what God wants us to do. I told you all that. I'm not the one you're to follow. I'm the setup guy. I want everybody. It's just like, you know, when your best friend gets married, you're happy for him. You don't get the bride, but he does, and you're happy for him. That's the way you want it to be. And so you're telling me that all the crowds are now going to Jesus? That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And look at this fantastic comment from John then in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Go back to that definition. Remember part of that definition? To give place or precedence. To acknowledge the superiority of someone else, to be inferior, to give way to or become succeeded by someone. That's what John is saying. I yield to Jesus. I want people to go to Jesus. You know another perspective on that? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus said, among those born of women, there has arisen none greater than John the Baptist. And yet, Jesus said that about him. And yet, here is John saying, less of me, more of Jesus. I yield. I humble myself. I surrender. That's powerful. That's powerful. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Look at a couple of more perspectives on this. Matthew, chapter 18. And look at what Jesus says. The disciples have come to him and said, hey, which one of us is the greatest? I mean, that was the disciples. Which one of us is the greatest? Jesus brings a little child up in front of them. Chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 4. Jesus says, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The innocence, the trusting, the depending on with childlike faith, that takes a yielding. Not to believe that I'm the smartest guy in every room I walk into. That's not true. Never will be. I mean, not even in a room of kindergartners. I'm serious. You know, my five-year-old grandson, he knows all the Paw Patrol characters. I don't know them. I'm not even the smartest guy in the room when he's around. Childlike innocence, humbling. Hey, another perspective on this? Turn over a few pages to chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is talking to the crowds, and now he's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. He's talking about the religious elite. And look at what he says in verses 11 and 12. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. See the other end of the spectrum there? From that child of faith. If you're living a life not yielding, you're going to get yielded. I don't know if that's a real word or not. It is now. If you're not living humbly, God will humble you. See the importance of what Jesus puts on that, how we should be doing that? See, by our own sin nature, we are prideful and we are selfish. That's us. That we want our way in life. That's a battle that we're going to face and we're going to continue to face. Yielding is a decision that we make. I would say we must make. If you want to see God's way in your life, if you want to see God's plan, if you want to see God's blessing, then we must be yielded. All right? Here's some more. James chapter 4. Go back toward the back of your Bible, right past Hebrews, the book of James. And remember that James was pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So he's preaching to the church, to a local church, just like we are here today looking at this. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. Look at what he says. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Why can't you get along? He's saying. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You know what he's saying? You want your own way, you're not getting it, so there's problems. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. Now he's speaking with an exaggeration there, and don't pigeonhole that word lust into a sexual idea. The word lust simply means to have a strong desire for something. Power, money, position. Whatever it may be, right? And so you're willing to go to any extreme to get what you want. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. In other words, he's saying you're trying to get it on your own, and you do not ask. But then, look at, you ask, verse 3, and do not receive. Why not? Because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures, be that ego or being able to say, I told you so, or whatever the case may be. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, I love the way James says this, makes himself an enemy of God. Don't try to blame God if it doesn't go your way. When we try to do things the world's way with the culture and the way society is and the influence of the world, which is more and more infecting the lives of the church, then we make ourselves an enemy of God. No wonder it doesn't work out. No wonder there's frustration, contention, quarrels, fighting, all of this that James is talking about. Verse 5, do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. God wants that fellowship and that communion with us and that relationship, that sweet relationship. The only way it's going to happen is, here's your sign, if we yield. Verse 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that's a continuation thing. It's not a one-time deal. Not a one-stop shop. Oh, I'm resisting the devil, and my life's going to be great from now on. That's not resist and keep on resisting. Just like it's submit and keep on submitting. Yield and keep on yielding. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't keep going back and forth. Verse 9 is so powerful. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. You know what to say? The state of our own personal sin should cause us to be broken, to mourn over it. I mean, to grieve over it. The state of the lostness of our world today, of our country today, should break our hearts. Instead of just que sera, sera, my life's okay, I don't care what anybody. No, when we humble ourselves to see what God sees, that happens. So then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know what that means? That means, let's say, let's go with the example you're dealing with right now. You've got a music search committee meeting and looking at through things. And so let's say one of the people in the search committee just believes they're the guy they picked of the resumes. He's the guy. And so what they do then is say, well, I'm just going to make sure we get this guy. So they start burning up the phone lines and texting and emailing and getting people on their side and, you know, that's not the way you do it. If you're on a committee of any kind and your idea is the one you think's got to be the next great thing the church is going to do, and so you start politicking, you start getting people on your side, and you start talking people into it. No, what verse 10, James is telling us, what God is saying is that if that's the way we feel about it, then what we do is we just lay it out before the Lord along with ourself. We yield our idea. And we just say, Lord, if this is it, because if it's right, God will convince the other people. You don't have to. That's what it's. He will exalt you. Your idea will be the one people hear and go, that's it. That's good. You don't do it. You let God do it. Why? Because if you don't, you're making yourself an enemy of God. That's what he said earlier. But when we yield to the Lord, he's the one who lifts us up when it's time for that to take place in our lives. Now, see another great reason why this is so incredibly important? Look down at verse 13 and following. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Hey, I got my plan laid out, and this is what it's going to be like, and we're going to go down here or chase the dollar, and we're going to do this business, and we're going to get it done, and I'm in charge, and I'm making the plans, and this is where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. Verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, I love this, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. If God wills, I'll wake up in the morning. Then I'll see what God wants next. It's a matter of waking up in the morning and going, yep, okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, now what is on your plan for today? You make the plan. You set the agenda. Lord, I yield to you over my life today. Verse 16, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, because of that, understanding that, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. When you know you are supposed to be yielding your life to God, when you know you are supposed to live humbly before him, and yet you're wanting to live in arrogance, sin. The Bible, that's what it's telling us. That's the way it goes. That's what this Pastor James knew people. See, that's why this is such a powerful statement. Let's look at another one. What did the Apostle Paul say about it? Well, turn back to Philippians chapter 2. See how Paul addresses it. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Pretty straightforward. I love this. Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, a yielded mind, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Jesus said he could have stayed there in heaven beside the Father and said, oh no, Father, it's so good here. I love the deity aspect of this. I love how glorious it all is, the majesty and the worship and the praise. No, I'd rather just stay here with you. How about you come up with another idea? Instead of that, he said, no, I will let go of all of this and humble myself according to your plan. One preacher said it this way, Jesus left heaven and all of its glory to come to earth and all of its gory. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, not at the name of Walter, not at Pastor Robert, not at whoever you are, nah, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even Jesus yielded to the Father's plan, and he's our example. So let me walk through a few scenarios of life here. Get another way of seeing this. If you are a believer and you are striving to live your life for Jesus, you are yielding on a daily basis, keep on yielding. Stay humble in an attitude before the Lord and watch him bless and use you. If you are a believer and you think you're the most important person in the church, maybe you think you give more than most. Maybe you've been a member longer than most. Maybe you've served on more committees than most. You think your voice should mean more than most. You think that you should be the decision maker. Your greatest need is to realize all of that means nothing if you are not yielded to God. Nothing. May mean something to you, but you're wrong. Means nothing. If you think that you are not of much value to the Lord or to the church, you don't think you have much to offer, just yield all that you are to the Lord and get ready to watch him show you how he can use you and how he has gifted you and made you. If your life is in turmoil, inwardly, outwardly, or maybe even both, yield. Yield to the Lord. Allow him to work in your heart and in your mind. Yield to him the pride. Yield to him the fear. Yield to him the anxiety. Yield to him the discouragement. Just surrender it all to him and let him give you his peace and joy that can help sustain you through the hard times. Listen, I'm not saying that if you yield your life to God, everything's going to get better. It may not. But what happens is God gives us the strength to endure and make it through those hard times. But it's a matter of staying yielded. Now, if you are not a believer, if you have not invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins and committed your life to him and received his gift of salvation, your greatest need right now is to just yield your life to him and ask Jesus to save you. And then once you do that, then yield every day to him and get ready to experience the blessings he's got for you to come. All of life rests on the importance and the need of yielding the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. Nothing productive to the kingdom of God can be accomplished through our human pride, our selfish pride. It is only when we surrender. It is only when we humble ourselves, when we yield to him, that he can and will work in us and through us to achieve kingdom results. And also, to go along with that, the joy and the peace that he gives, the opportunity to see his hand at work, to experience his glory around us, his power and his blessings around us, his peace within us. Listen, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, I truly believe your greatest need after receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is that you yield to him to being the Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love for us. A love so great that you would be willing to send your Son, that Jesus would yield and humble himself, coming to earth to provide a way of salvation. And so I pray, first of all, Father, for anyone in this room today that's never come to that point, that they would understand today that this is their sign, the need to yield to you, let you be Lord. So if there's someone here today who's, maybe the light comes on today, maybe they hear you speak to them in a way like never before, they're ready today, in a moment, during this invitation, Lord, give them the courage to come forward. Brother Dewey's going to be here at the front to meet them. All they'll need to do is come to him and say, I need Jesus. He knows what that means. Be able to help them begin a personal, intimate, growing love relationship with you. And then, Father, I pray for believers in this room today. Maybe some that have been struggling a bit. And maybe it's because of a pride issue. For whatever reason, they've not been yielding to you to be Lord and Savior. Then, Father, I pray today would be the day they would be ready to humble themselves before you, just to make it all right and begin yielding every moment of every day to you and allow you to lead. And I pray that collectively this body of believers would do that, so that you will, even more than ever before, begin to use this church in this community, in this region, to make an impact for Jesus. So God, do in us what we need to have done in us, what only you can do, as we yield our lives to you today. And for that, I'll give you the glory and give you all the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Let's stand together. Brother Alex is going to lead us in a song, a couple of verses of invitation. Brother Dewey will be here at the front. God's dealing with you. You need to come. Maybe just come and kneel at the altar and pray and get it right. Yield. Humble yourselves. Whatever God says for you to do, I encourage you, do it as God leads.
Come out of sight. From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's a rest for the weary, oh rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are, fallen is ours. Oh, come as you are. This joyful morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are.
Father, again, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we thank you for Brother Walter as he has come and faithfully given the truth of your word to us. Lord, I pray that it has pricked us in just the ways that we need to be pricked at the heart and the soul. Lord, we are all prone to wander. But you are good to receive us when we come to you in repentance. And so, Lord, we pray that that has happened today for all those who are in need of it. And Lord, we thank you that you even allow us to know you, that we might come to a place every week as your adopted sons and daughters to worship a holy God. It's far beyond our understanding, far above our imagination, Lord. Let us realize how great you are, how finite we are. And let's lean into your grace and your mercy. And Lord, let the things that we have heard today, let it not stay here, but let it go with us out of these walls. Lord God, we pray that all of this has been to your glory. To our good. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, church, as we dismiss, we're going to sing the doxology together. And as Dewey mentioned earlier, we are having church tonight. With Brother Robert being out, he asked me to talk to y'all. So if you want to hear something tonight, you're welcome to come back. But be sure and thank Brother Walter for filling in for us this week. It's been a blessing. Truly has. And yeah, so as we go, let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you, church. You are dismissed.